Then I thought of maybe we should have another festival like this. Maybe where we celebrate the collective birthdays of all of you, you know. More than one. And I'm your worshiper during that time. I'm joking, this might be something too creative. But I'm nevertheless thinking about the forums in which this Krishna conscious appreciation, gratitude, and so on can be expressed. And I really feel the best forum is really in life. That means not only during a festival. Festival is nice, but in daily life. And I think it has to do with a general attitude, a general awareness, a general mood, maybe, which can be very empowering and strengthening. Good. So I'm very much enthusiastic now. I will give a little lecture, and then I do not know Sadhu Shiva is somewhere here. You know what happens next? Don't, no need to say, but someone needs to know. You know. Hare Krishna. I also wanted to just ask, when there is a pause, to ask Preeti and Deepak, who will be somewhere in the audience, to just briefly come to me. I have an interesting idea I want to share. Yes, when there is a pause. I know you will be leaving at 10 o'clock or so. And just before. Good. So, we can start.
Thank you. Thank you.
Session, I just want to ask Gaura Hari Vajrajati, where the butter pots there already? I was surprised to see that now Krishna is steaming butter. His opportunity, the cows also joined us. Yes. I didn't see them before. I begin to understand this is living. Living reality. Thank you. I wanted to utilize this time to give a program which is a little different from a normal lecture which I give. I just miss my clue.
We have the glasses, isn't it? Chai Krishna must be there. I found. Sorry.
This is by the way, Jai Krishna, you have to bless him all that he will be released very soon from an ever increasing list of obligations which keeps him. What I thought I would do today is something which you do when there's birthday. I think a good birthday celebration in spiritual service like ours is complete only if there is a personal note, a personal touch in it. And I therefore thought to overstep my normal policy to not talk so much about me and talk a little bit about what motivates me in my own life of Krishna consciousness personally. I am well aware that that I have a duty towards you as a representative of an ancient tradition. I found out that if you want to represent something else, you should keep yourself a little bit out of the picture, because it's all about the other subject which you are representing. And therefore, and usually we don't talk much about us. I mean, I only out of bad habit maybe, but it's not what we indulge in regularly. At the same time, there is an instruction in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Gop Kumar says, "Now I want to teach this Brahmin, Yama Sharma, by talking about my personal example, because nothing speaks more to a human being than the life of another human being. So I wanted to a little bit discuss on this matter today by telling you what inspires me personally in Krishna consciousness and keeps me going throughout all these years. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Namaste Saraswati Deve Namo Ramani Prachare Nirvishesha Shukravadi Vashajari Shadari Sri Krishna Chaitanya can remember when I was very young, maybe 3 or 4 years old, or 5, I do not know exactly, that there was a period in my life when I could not fall asleep in the evening. I would lie sometimes for hours in the bed. In the beginning, when I saw this inability to fall asleep, I used it for adventure. That is, I climbed out of the window where my little children's room was, and I climbed down, I remember, crossed the night road, was a little scared, and went into a garden which was a wild garden. It was not kept like an ordinary garden. It was full of fruit trees and as children we used to climb these trees. So in these nights when it was impossible for me to fall asleep, I remember I went into this wild garden. It was really wild. And I sat either under a tree or on a tree, developed something like a play, which I as a young boy liked very much. I used to sit and look and on these cloudless nights when there was no clouds, I would like to look into the universe, into the other world, the world of the luminous stars. And I distinctly remember, because I did this many, many nights, sometimes nights in a row, I would look at the stars closest to me and also at those stars which were in the distance and wonder, what if there is a little boy who cannot sleep and who looks at my star and wonders if there is life on my planet. Now I remember this very often. I would look into the night sky and watch the stars, and I was convinced that there's life in the universe on these stars, very similar to my own life here, with living entities which populated, living entities who have their own plans and who may not be able to sleep very soundly in the night. And remember, as a little boy, this was very often there. When I grew up, in fact, I became so accustomed to look at the sky and wonder about the life on other planets that I would very often think about my existence in this universe. I think many children do this, and maybe it sounds familiar to you and you did something similar, but it became a regular thought. There must be other living entities. There must be other worlds. There must be other lifestyles. And maybe the lifestyle here on this earth is not the best. In the beginning, when I was a child, I thought maybe there are stars where there are no schools, where you have to go to school. But when I became older, I did not think about the benefit or the unbenefit of schools. I thought very much about the different spheres and the different planets. And then when I turned around 14 or so, I used to regularly think that there must be a God behind all this, who created all the different universes, first of all the different planets, and the different universes in which they flowed. And I was thinking,
if I could only meet him one day. Now, this was a regular thought. It started from a problem, that is, not being able to sleep as a little boy and going into the wild garden, I think you say, verwildeter Garten, sagt man in Deutsch, the wild garden, and later it became a regular thinking sport to think about these other worlds. And when I became, just before joining Krishna consciousness, I actually sometimes tried, sometimes successfully, most of the time unsuccessfully, to separate myself from this life and this body and try to go on an imaginary journey into these other planets. And just before I came to Krishna consciousness, I made a decision that I would learn actually the mystical art of separating myself from the body and traveling to the universe, through the universe, to find out myself. But then I met the devotees and read the book Easy Journey to Other Planets. That was the first journey. The first book I really read. Before I read the Gita, I read Easy Journey to Other Planets. And maybe you have heard, Prabhupada had told the artist what to paint on the cover of Easy Journey to Other Planets. It showed a shaved up devotee who was actually leaving this universe. You see him just piercing through the layers of the universe. He has a hand there, and it is with a set of beads. He chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he is on his way to Goloka Vrindavan. When I saw this, I thought, here is my spiritual path, because on my own I had already developed the desire to find out what is there in other planets, in other universes. And then later, when this became a little bit more mature, I developed the desire to find out the Lord who must be behind all of this. And I saw the cover of Srila Prabhupada's Easy Journey to Other Planets. I thought, this, well, here I can learn a way to reach these unknown destinies and ideas. This is something which you need to know to understand what I will now talk about. There was, I would like to also tell you the very first contact I had with the devotees. That is, before I saw the cover of Easy Journey to Other Planets. It was, I will just briefly tell it to you, when I was with my mother purchasing birthday presents for my older brother, who is now known as Vaidyanath Das. So as we were going to the department store where we wanted to buy these presents, we came across devotees who were actually singing the Hare Krishna mantra and chanting. I became so fascinated that I did not want to purchase gifts for my brother, but I wanted to stay with the devotees. And then when my mother bought gifts alone, and then when she came and we needed to continue our journey, I actually approached one of the devotees. It is the late Tamal Krishna Goswami. That is what I found out later from the picture. I approached him and I said, can you please tell me teach me the song which you are singing? And he took a piece of paper and wrote down the Hare Krishna mantra in its entirety. At that time I was young, foolish and adventurous. I would always look at horror shows in the evening when my parents were out on a party
opportunity given by the company for which my father worked. He was out, my father and my mother, they were really society people, the mix with the rich and the influential, and they were out each weekend, and each Saturday at 11 o'clock to 12:30 there was a horror show in the third channel of the German TV, which was very much forbidden for me to see because I was a sensitive young boy and my parents didn't want me to see this. It's almost as if Sriji, the son of Kishori and Madhava, would look at these programs, and I think the parents, you would not be comfortable if he does this. It was not healthy for a young boy to see Frankenstein and Dracula. So I used to regularly see this because my parents were gone. And I remember one night there was the Frankenstein movie, you know, Mr. Dr. Frankenstein had taken parts of old bodies, he had sewn them together, and he had put them in his laboratory, and then he had put a blitz uplighter, you know, a lightning conductor, and it was a stormy night, and there was lightning, and the lightning conductor went right to the heart of this person who was sewn together from old corpses, and bam, the flesh came, and Frankenstein got up, and he actually went to his creator, Dr. Frankenstein. It was such a cold night and horrible night, and the created being of Frankenstein was afraid and wanted to be in the bed of Frankenstein for human warmth, but Frankenstein said, you won't get into my bed, and he was the rejected son, so to say, and his attachment to Dr. Frankenstein turned into hate for him, and then he began his series of murders. So I saw the whole dramatic presentation of this Frankenstein motif and became scared to death. It was really scary. Those who have seen the movie, don't allow your children to see it. It's not good for children. And I remember when I went back from the program, from the TV program, to my little bed, I thought Frankenstein is really in our villa, and he waits behind every corner. And then I remember I was going past the bathroom, and then the bathroom door opened, and I thought, "Oh, he's getting me!" And at that time, I remember I had this mantra, and I started to chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama." And I began to chant, and then later, when I reached safely my sleeping room, my own room, I got the piece of paper out, and then, oops, I have not chanted it properly. And then went into serious chanting. And I do remember that night when I was dying from fear that Frankenstein, who was for sure in our apartment, it couldn't be different, and he was there to kill me and eat me. This was absolutely sure. There was not a shadow of a doubt in me. When I chanted the Hare Krishna mantra, I felt no fear. I was very happy when once Prabhupada was interviewed. A reporter stuck a microphone into his face and said, "What do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna?" Prabhupada said, I feel no fear. I remember this very much, and I connected it with my youthful dreams to leave this world for higher planets and to meet the creator of everything. And now I was chanting his name and I was really in serious problems. That was a serious problem for a young boy to meet Frankenstein alone in a villa. Ooh, that's a supreme difficulty in life. And then when I felt no fear after chanting, I thought I had made a journey to the Creator. I felt that very, very, very much. And I connected somehow the two, traveling to the kingdom of God, to singing and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and feeling no fear, as if you are together with the Lord. This is something which very much moved me in my childhood. There, I could tell you many adventures, and we would laugh, and we would some were up for crying. They almost ended in my premature death. I was very wild as a child. Wild is, yes, wild or very adventurous. I did not know my own limitations, I can say. But these stand out. My own desire to, or my own thinking that there is something else, and that there is a Lord in the universe, and you can meet Him, and finding the Maha Mantra. This has always been with me, my dear devotees. If you want to know where I'm inside, I'm always with one step not here. And that was a problem in the school. The teachers would ask me, "Are you here?" And I was just dreaming. It was too boring, the school, and I was thinking about, there must be other worlds, there must be other planets, there must be a creator, and there must be a way to reach them. This was really occupying my thought very much. I spoke with some of my disciples. I know one disciple was thinking about Che Guevara and we need to change the world. Others had other motives in their life. I must become a musician, the stars of the musical world. Or the others might have another motive. I must become a pilot or an astronaut or something like this. My motive was and has remained the idea that this world cannot be all, and the reality cannot be real. One of our little devotees, his name is Sriji Prasad, surprised his mother by saying one day to her, "What if this is all a dream?" Then he continued, "And then we wake up, we find out we are all Chinese." This must be the influence of his father, this last thought. But what is, if this is all a dream? A little boy had this also. And in my life, this was very ausgeprägt. Ausgeprägt means it was very dominant in my thinking. What if this is not the real world? What if this is just one of the many, many little worlds within the creation of my Lord? And what if this is, when I find out there is another world? Then I remember, I joined the temple and I could speak a little English. The other devotees of German origin could not speak even this little English. My English was not good and still not good, as you know. I had the note number 5 in English. The 6 is the verses note. But still, I was known as the English speaker in our community. And I was requested to translate Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita from English into German. Krishna. It was a dangerous translation which I made, I think. And I do remember not so many things which I read during the time I translated. It might be disappointing for you to hear, but as a translator, I was really more concerned with putting the content into the German language, and I did not relish really the content or think about the content. I just thought about grammatics and so on, grammatical rules. But I remember as I translated, I came to the chapter 50. This is the only thing I remember from translating a whole book. And I came to text number 6, where the Lord speaks about his own kingdom of God. He says, "That supreme abode of mine," my kingdom, "is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by the fire or electricity." Acha. It means it is self-effulgent. Sun is not required, moon, electricity, fire, nothing, because it is the light is coming out of my own abode. Those who reach it, the verse continued, those who reach it, listen to this, never return to this material world. When I translated this, dieses höchste Reich, mein Reich, wird nicht beleuchtet durch die Sonne, noch durch den Mond, noch durch Feuer oder Elektrizität. Die, die es erreichen, kehren niemals wieder in die materielle Welt zurück. When I translated this, this is into German language, just for your knowledge. I said, wow. And I remembered my childhood. And I remember my encounter, first encounter with the devotees. And then I translated all alone in a cold garage. I was covered by 10 blankets because we had no money to pay the heating. So then Prabhupada says, and this spoke very much to me, one should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. Wow! False reflection of reality. One should be enthusiastic to leave it. Yeah, I'm with you. This is from my childhood. I desire this. For one who is too much attached to this material world, that's not me, I'm not attached, I thought. It is very difficult to cut that attachment, but if he takes the Krishna consciousness, there's a chance of gradually becoming detached. So I read this, and my dear devotees, I stopped my translation, and I said, and I went back to my childhood. And I went back to the times when I chanted Hare Krishna, when I was very much afraid and left the world of fear and so on. And I have never actually given up this enthusiasm to go to another to go to the reality and leave the shadow world behind. A little while ago, not a little while ago, when I was very young, I came to the first, the first time to Vrindavan Dham. And in the Dham, I felt feelings I had never felt before of being close to Krishna. And then I made a decision I would wander all around Vrindavan to get to know the land of Vrindavan. And Lokanath Maharaj started the Padayatra, which would circumambulate Braj Mandal. I was there the very first time, and I traveled around Vrindavan for 3 or 4 times. I do not remember if it was 4 times or 3 times. And I became very fascinated to see that even in this world there is a place, actually it's not really in this world, but It said Bhakti Devi took the holy Dham, Vrindavan Dham, like a lotus flower from the spirit of bird and planted it in India, like a lotus flower. So it's a little bit over India, like a lotus flower which is planted. It's not in this world, but at least we can go. Let me not get into something philosophical here. So I began to feel when I'm in Vrindavan that in a way I'm out of the material world. I'm sitting on a lotus in this world which is plucked from this only reality, the spiritual world. And it is because of this that I developed such a liking. It was a continuation of my childhood dreams and a feeling of having reached the kingdom of God even while being in this world. But I noticed in Vrindavan you can also be in the material world when you are in material consciousness. So therefore I began to look for a way to not be in material consciousness as much as possible while staying in Vrindavan. I looked into different ways, for instance, into changing your reality, your identity into another identity and staying in a meditational identity, doing service. That occupied my thought for many years and is still a thought I pursue. But after a lot of research and experiment, personal experiments, I began to understand, I think 20 years ago it started, that I can go, I can be in the spiritual world in Vrindavan when I chant the holy name, purify my consciousness, and trust that that Krishna, in his most merciful form of the name, reveals to me everything he wants to reveal to me at this stage. I became very convinced of this, and this conviction informs my personal practice and my personal spirituality, that which I do when I close the door to my room, and so on. I'm convinced that I am not the body, that I'm a different personality, that I have a spiritual identity in which I relate to Krishna, which is revealed in steps by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So you can see the Satchinandan Swami who lives with you is a little otherworldly. Wie sagt man otherworldly in Deutsch? Is a bisschen abgehoben. But I thought to explain to you, and whenever I'm sad, when things don't go the way I want, and I'm hurt physically or emotionally and so on, I think no problem. I am a different person. I belong to another world, and I have follow a spiritual tradition which brings me to this spiritual world where I can meet my Lord now my Lord, yes, that's who is the Lord of Vrindavan? Well, everyone worships Krishna, but whom does Krishna worship? This is a whole different subject matter I don't wish to go in at this moment. So, this is a little bit my life. I want to now say, as I'm talking, I don't want you to believe that I am there, that I have attained anything, because I am a traveler on the path, not more and not less. But I want to tell you that there's something which drives me from childhood, which is natural for me to think, because natural means it's not informed by anything else except your own nature. It's something which came, which is just belonging to me, this this idea, which by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada has gotten nourishment, it has become gotten a clear focus, so to say, and it is something I aspire for, something which I think now when I can't sleep, now I can also not sleep due to vata and old age, then I think about these things like I used to think. Now I don't climb out of the window of my apartment, although I would love to do this sometimes, but I don't do this because of old age. But I then sit and think about the eternal spiritual world and how I belong to this, and that how I so much wish to go there. Yeah, yeah. This is something I... But again, I'm not there. I'm still a bound soul, a conditioned soul. But I like to think about this very much. This is what I would like to say.
Good.
Now I want to end this section. Is it interesting? I feel a little bit shy because I talk a little bit too much about myself. I just wanted, because we had celebrated and now we want to know who is he. I want to now say what I personally like the most in my life. I made a list of 5 things. One will be a surprising thing. You've never heard this. I've never told it. I will be so much criticized on the internet, but I don't care. First is really when I think in my life, who is the most important person? Because you usually like persons very much. I always come to Srila Prabhupada. He has given me the initiation into the holy names, and he has invited me to a life in Krishna consciousness, and he has corrected me many times in a necessary way. It's not that I only, and maybe he looks at, now this is not, this is Leben kommt vom Leben, I believe. It's a German book, I think, he looks at, which he translated. Prabhupada liked, what I liked so much about him is his personal integrity. You just know when he talks, and when he walks, when he looks at you, that his inside is absolutely identical with his presentation or the way he moves in this world. And I think this is wonderful. The other reason why his integrity or his inside being identical with his outside. What I also so much appreciate is my personal relationship. I can only say it like this: he saved me. I would not be here without his mercy. I want to give you one example how he continues to be present in my life. I sometimes hear lectures of him, and once after my last heavy surgery, I was recuperating in the mountains near Sarajevo, and I was walking every day, and because I was high up, I used to walk often through fog where you could only see your hand before your eyes, but not more. And once I was walking and everything was still paining, and then I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada where he said, "What do you do for eternity?" You know, it's one of these sentences, you think, maybe I have not heard it properly, it sounds so profound. And you go back, yip, on your MP3 recording device, and then, "What do you do for eternity?" What? Wow. Yip, you go back, what do you do for eternity? And I just broke out in tears and said, thank you, you have given back life to me. I've now spent so much time to recover my health, but with your kind input into my life, I will do something now equally intense for my spiritual health. This is how Srila Prabhupada, he had said he would be with his disciples through his verse, his vani. And I experienced during moments like the one I described how truthful he is for his promise. What else do I like? I like Vrindavan Dham very much. In some place to rest. Have you ever slept in Vrindavan Dham? It is a very good dream. What a wonderful photo. It invites all of us to take a rest in Vrindavan. Last year, Gaura Hari and Vaija Janti and Himanshu brought us to a very nice tour through Vrindavan Dham, and we visited Biharivan. It's a little forest which is kept as it was during the time of Krishna. In Biharivan, we met many cows which were there. They were quite interested in us. For different reasons, spiritual reasons, but also because we had bananas with us. And I came to one old samadhi of a saint. You see him, I went there and I recognized his statue, and behind the statue there was a photograph of him. And I understood, I knew this saint. I had met him maybe 10 years ago or 12 years ago when he was still alive. And this, I had asked the saint to share his favorite story of Krishna with us. I didn't say favorite, a story of Krishna. The saint had talked to me about Krishna with so much emotion and so much really heartfelt love that he had cried and stopped speaking, and just tears came down his cheeks. And I sat there with my translator, and I felt, oh, I want to be touched by this love of Krishna, as the those who live in Vrindavan feel for Krishna. I love this very much. As I said to you, in Vrindavan I feel feelings which I cannot feel in the material world. Here is the saint, the samadhi. The story is... Should I tell you the story?
Yes. Yes.
Well, he wanted to show how much Krishna loves his cowherd boyfriends and how much the cowherd boyfriends love Krishna. And he said that one morning they came together and for a play of some competition, and Krishna's side lost, and according to the agreement, Krishna had to carry the side of the winner, one boy, on his back. But Krishna felt a little moody that morning and did not want to carry anyone. So he said to his friends, "Today I'm not carrying anyone." "But you lost." "Yes, but today I don't feel like carrying anyone." "But you lost. And it is our agreement. Today I cannot keep the agreement." "On what strength, please?" demanded the cowherd boy. "I'm the son of the king here." said the boys, "just because Nanda Baba has a few more cows than our father, this does not make you the prince who has Sonderrechte, special rights. Can you give one good reason why you don't need to carry us?" And then Krishna, she really didn't want to carry anyone. The saint said it very strong. Didn't want to carry. Then Krishna said something which she regretted later. I don't need to carry anyone because I'm God. And then the coward voice laughed like you laugh. Proof. Anyone can say it, but you need to prove. Then Krishna, with a trembling lip, because he really didn't want to carry anyone, trembling lip, said, okay, close your eyes. They closed their eyes, and then Krishna said, now open. And then all the cowherd boys, by his mystical potency, the saint said it so nicely, I can't really repeat it, how sweetly he said it. He had carried all of them to Vaikuntha, and there Krishna sat as the four-handed Narayan, surrounded by his servants. The cowherd boys saw their friend Krishna so much in the distance. He was served by Vaikuntha protocol. The cowherd boys wanted to raise their attention, and they wanted to place with their flute. But they were forbidden to continue their tribal music. They became absolutely depressed. And then Narayan smiled at them and said, close your eyes. And then he transported them back to Vrindavan. And when the sadhu ended his narration, then the boys looked at Krishna and said, please don't do this ever again. You shocked us. Okay, today you do not need to carry us, but tomorrow you need to carry us. Krishna very submissively said, yes, tomorrow. So I have told you now what he said to me without or minus his bhava, his feelings, his devotional ecstasy, because I don't want to try to copy that, nor am I qualified. He had said it, what I told you, with sound, with color, with emotions, with a relationship, with ecstasy, profound ecstasy, and we felt touched by what he told us. So 15 years later I came to the place where he had told us this story. Now he was there in Samadhi. He had left to the eternal Vrindavan, where I also wish to go one day after many lifetimes when Krishna wants. And I was paying my obeisances. I knew there were devotees with me, so I checked my emotions, and but I wanted to lie there for a whole day and pray to the sadhu to please tell a good word about me to Krishna. Now, this is how what I experienced in Vrindavan. This is a little bit the photos of this. I also like very much the Srimad Bhagavatam. I always go, each day I read something, and then I go from the first canto through the whole work. And I like verses like this: an intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there. So one doesn't like a place where there is no Krishna Katha. One doesn't like a place if there are not devotees engaged in service on the banks of such river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yagya to satisfy the Lord. This is a this is something which I find in the Bhagavatam, some directions in my life. Sachinanda Swami, this verse says to me, make sure that in your life you go to a place where there is talk about Krishna. And if no one talks about it, talk. You must talk about it. Go to a place where you can meet devotees who are serious in bhakti, in devotional service, and go to a place where is Sankirtan Yajna. This was so strong that even when the doctor said, don't travel anywhere, I had to run to Radhakrish because there was Sankirtan Yajna going on. So this is I think you can understand this. I'm talking about Anshanga Bhakti, no? Bhagavata, Prabhupada, Sadhu, Vrindavan, Bhagavata, Holy Name. There's a secret attachment I need to talk about. But I have to be honest. I also very much like Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte. It's a particular brand of cake. Which is really relishable, and what to do? Once in a year, I get it every 10 years, you know, because I have not publicly admitted to this. So, this is also Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte, offered to our dainties, is just the best, which this world is so offered. I thought, let's add a little humor here. This is my little presentation for your pleasure at the birthday. Hare Krishna. Here is this is what, yeah, this is also in Nainata Shala. It's the Vrindavan in Bengal, where there are many Bengalis. There, Kananata Shala is where Lord Chaitanya saw Radha Krishna first. Actually, Krishna, he saw Krishna, that's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's a beautiful cliff, there are caves by which were inhabited by crocodiles. They are very good for charity, and it's good sound, good atmosphere, and often you see dolphins coming in the Ganges. That place and other such lonely places where I can be myself, I also appreciate very much. Hare Krishna. Good. It's all right. Thank you very much. Please excuse me if it was not interesting for you. But I thought, let us be a little personal because you will also be personal now. I heard there is some programs now organized. Sanashila will tell us or someone else will talk.
We will continue now with the gifts for March. I'm waiting for all day. All the bodies have now the chance to offer their gifts and presents to Guru Maharaj, and while this is going on, I think we will have a very soft bhajan in the background, so that it's not too noisy for Guru Maharaj to talk to the devotees, and I think Guru Hari will explain exactly how we do it.
This year, usually the gift ceremony would everyone will come for Guru Maharaj to offer his gift, and Guru Maharaj give a darshan to that person, and then the next person will offer the gift, and Maharaj will speak also a few words to that devotee, and basically wait all night for the gift ceremony. This year we decided to do it in a different way, which will be very, very nice. You just come and offer your gift, and Maharaj will give you also a small gift, and the next day will become. And it's a bit like we see in the movies of Srila Prabhupada. They will do that, and Prabhupada will come in the morning, after the morning walk, will come to the temple, and every devotee will be in line. They will give a flower to Prabhupada. Prabhupada will take the flower, will give the flower to another devotee, and then will give another flower. It's just like a loving exchange, but because the day was also very long, and Maharaj will need to speak to every one of you, it will be very, very exhausting. So it will be like just a simple exchange of love without much words, but with a full heart. So that's what will take place now. A small other announcement tomorrow morning. Actually, we have a family who came here to Goloka Dham just to give to a child in Krishna consciousness. And it was very, very nice to see the mother, the future mother, being here and all the devotees assisting and following all the sanskaras. And the mother would assist every morning to the Srimad Bhagavatam lecture and get really like the spiritual vibrations. They have given birth maybe a week or a few days before the festival. And tomorrow morning, before the final address lecture from Sorina Sachinandana's family, there will be a small name giving ceremony for the child here in the temple from 9 to 10. So everyone is most welcome to be here and also be blessings to this very special child who took birth here in our community. So, like Sadashiva was saying, we will have a bhajan, a soft bhajan in the background. I will be very, very happy. There is a wonderful Vaishnavi that could sing very nicely and did not sing yet. And we have Subhadra. If you can make start with the bhajan, and then everyone can come one after another, bring your gifts to Gumaraj from the heart.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's so nice to hear you, even with normal announcements. We miss your voice, Hare Krishna. But I also want to really thank Gaurahari and Vaijajanti for just keeping this this holy space, or how do you say, this project of Radha Madan Mohan. It's really coming here, really feels like being sheltered, and I mean, for days. Decoration is just, you know, when something is good, you can speak about it. When something is super good, you can also try to speak about it. It becomes a little bit more difficult because you can't say nice or so, you have to describe it. But when something is more than super good, there are no words anymore to describe it. Do you know what I mean? And this is a little bit like this. I'm usually a little talkative. That means I speak about everything and so on. But Vaijayanti, it's really, I'm speechless. It's very rare in my life that I'm speechless. It's just so wonderful. And I hope, Gogavinda, you have made a photo that we can see. It's a big for you want to still do maybe with daylight. It's a better, yes. Thank you very, very, very much. And it's living. Let's see what is there tomorrow. All right, then. Hare Krishna.